Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-ASK Hank, numerically 888-275-4265. Before we go to our callers, I do want to mention an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Responding to Evil Christianly. The journal, our award-winning magazine. If you have not subscribed, you can take an opportunity to do that on the web at equip.org. But in this article, Travis Dickinson mentions that in the early morning hours of June 12, 2016, so about 6 months ago, Omar Mateen approached an LGBT nightclub in Orlando, Florida, with the intent to kill as many people as possible. He pledged allegiance, of course, to the Islamic State, and then proceeded to open fire on a highly populated nightclub. The attack left 49 people dead and 53 injured. It is considered today to be the largest mass shooting in the United States in contemporary times, because prior to this, the shooting with the largest death toll was the Virginia Tech shooting in 2007. Hard to believe that that is 10 years ago. In that shooting, 32 were killed and 17 injured. The Orlando shooting was significantly worse than anything of this kind in the past century. So, of course, given the amount of intrigue, the nation took notice. And in an interview, a popular conservative TV personality emphatically identified Mateen as evil. The interviewer then asked this question: what is the proper response to evil? His answer: destroy it, confront it. You don't contain evil because you can't. You destroy evil. ISIS is evil and Mateen is evil. Well, on the other side of the issue was an article in the New York Times where an Episcopal priest took issue. His name was Stephen Palakis, and he answered the question how you should respond to evil in the way of saying, well, instead of opposing evil, we should put our efforts into caring for those who have suffered. But imagine the nightmare of his version of the world, a version that includes an unfettered and unopposed ISIS. Do we seriously think they're going to stop beheading and burning people, crucifying and inspiring mass shootings and suicide bombings, if we gave up a fight against them and just cared for their victims? To merely focus on caring for victims seems dangerously naive. Moreover, we have to ask a larger question, and that is, what is evil? Is it a thing in its own right, or is it a deprivation of good? This article deals with all of that and more. It's another reason why I recommend the Christian Research Journal. It will help you with your discernment skills. If you have not subscribed, again, you can do so on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Got a lot of you hanging on. First up today is Conrad, listening in Dallas, Texas. Conrad's listening on the web. Hi, Conrad.
Hi, Mr. Hindegraff. How are you this evening? Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you.
My question was really not a question. It's really a comment. It's concerning the late Miles Monroe. I had a friend of mine send me a YouTube video of the late Miles Monroe, 2003. It's very concerning. I think a lot of his teaching is heretical, and I just wanted to get your opinion, sir.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, I mention him in my book, Christianity in Crisis. He has been exhorting, while he was alive, his devotees to reread their Bibles, because if they do that, he is certain that they will be utterly persuaded that God cannot do anything apart from the permission of his people. Here's how he puts it. I want you to read the Bible again. Some of you have never read it before, but try to read the Bible again and find anywhere in the Bible, listen carefully, where God ever did anything on earth without a cooperation of a human. Find it doesn't exist. When God wanted to free his people from Egypt, he had to get a man to help him. When God wanted to burn and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he had to get a man to cooperate. When God wanted to do anything on earth, even to save us, he had to send a human being. Therefore, whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it. Now, the main point is that human beings cannot do anything without God's permission, but there's also an inkling here of something else he teaches, and that is a very deficient and defective view of Theanthropus, the God-man. But with respect to having to give God permission, as Miles Monroe must surely have known, nothing could be farther from the truth. Even a cursory reading of the Bible, if people really took him up on his exhortation, reveals the unilateral power and province of the Almighty. Perhaps he could have learned a lesson from Nebuchadnezzar, who, after hanging out with the heifers, raised his eyes towards heaven and acknowledged that far from needing the permission of people, God does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. The problem with Miles Monroe, as with other prosperity preachers, is he has little concept of who God really is. And this was one of the problems, but there were many, many problems. So I think you have rightly communicated that his teachings were heretical.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul. Paul is listening in Birmingham, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My question is about the Theotokos, and I want you to concentrate solely on the theology that the Roman Catholic Church has about the Immaculate Conception of Mary and why she would have to be sinless to be the God-bearer.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was something that was defined by Pope Pius IX, I believe, in a 1854 bull. And I've said many times on the broadcast, I think it's an unwarranted innovation. According to that dogma, from the moment of conception, Mary was kept free from the stain of all original sin. If you look at what the church taught prior to this bull, there was a veneration of Mary, but Christians held that she was born with the same broken nature as all other human beings. So we should venerate Mary. She's a model of what we are to become in Christ. The Bible called her blessed among women, and blessed was the fruit of her womb. And so we honor Mary, and rightly so, but we honor her as a human being who was the most intimate with Jesus Christ on earth. So veneration, yes, but we should never worship her, nor should we hold to the notion of immaculate conception. She was broken, born with a broken gene, just like every other human being.
Okay, I was just having a conversation with a relative, and he is Catholic, and I couldn't understand why that they thought that she had to be sinless like Christ was sinless.
Yeah, I think this is one of the problems that you have in the Roman Catholic Church, and that is when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, or he speaks from the chair, he does so in an alleged infallible manner. And I think this is problematic on many accounts. We just mentioned one of them, but in 1950, Pope Pius, I think it was the 12th, dogmatized the widely held view that Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. So I think this is a unilateral dogmatization. And from the perspective of the church prior to these kinds of dogmatizations, the church would not make these kinds of unwarranted unilateral statements. And this is one of the reasons, quite frankly, that there was a schism between the Eastern Church and the Western Church back in 1054.
Can you talk about the repercussions of the view of God, specifically giving her that sinless, I don't exactly know how to word it.
Well, I think what you're getting at is the worry in general. Sure, the worry in general was that if Mary was not herself free from the stain of original sin, then she would pass on original sin to Christ. I think that was the worry that was dealt with in this particular bull. But again, it's an unwarranted worry. I've written about this in other places. You can find this information on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone line and talk to Carrie listening in Idaho. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
The question that I have is, what constitutes a cult?
Well, I've actually used the acronym cult to explain what a cult is. The C stands for a counterfeit. We don't try to figure out what is wrong with every kind of currency that is counterfeit. Rather, we get familiar with what is real, and as a result of that, by contrast, we recognize the counterfeit. As Oz Guinness likes to say, contrast is the mother of clarity. If you want to know if a stick is crooked, you lay a straight stick next to it. The second thing that I would mention, the U in the acronym cult, has to do with unbiblical revelations. That's a common characteristic of a cult. Cults like Mormonism, for example, have the Book of Mormon, which is decidedly unbiblical. Then there's this idea of linguistic subversion, the L in the acronym cult. Cults are notorious for subverting biblical language by pouring their own unique meanings into key Christian words and phrases. The T stands for theological perversion. And from a theological perspective, cults are pseudo-Christian groups that compromise, confuse, or contradict the essentials of the Christian faith. And the S, by the way, if you want to make this plural, cults, would stand for sociological deviance, because from a sociological perspective, a cult is a religious or semi-religious sect whose followers are controlled in virtually every dimension of their lives. And as such, devotees characteristically display loyalty for the guru and the group in an unwarranted fashion. And some of these cults, I was speaking about this in Taipei to Christians from all over, and I was talking about the Almighty God cult. I mean, they ended up killing a woman in a McDonald's in the south of China. And this, of course, brought them to the attention not only of the world, but the attention of the Communist Chinese government as well. But yeah, so you have theological deviation and sociological deviance. I've written about this in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, where I actually use the acronym CULTS to give you the main characteristic of what a cult is. But do remember, the essentials are the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Also, do remember you can listen to the broadcast by downloading CRI's Equip app. Again, you can do that on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther testified, "I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need to know for this life and for that which is to come." Luther's wise words ought to prompt us to hit the pause button and become immersed in God's Word. To help you do that, CRI is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized new audio production voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score, along with wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The classic film 2001: A Space Odyssey played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 can put your minds at rest. Who's afraid of how? Why computers will not become conscious and take over the world. Other topics include the unending bending of gender, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am, responding to evil Christianly, and much more.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Iconograph writes, like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Immerse yourself in the scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original musical score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Well, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have some incredible resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. One I've mentioned already, the Christian Research Journal. For your support, I'll send you a copy. And I think you'll really enjoy it. It's absolutely fantastic. And probably as a result of getting an edition of the journal for your gift, you may even consider subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. A couple of others. My book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. I mean, in that book, I worked on that book for probably 3 years, but in that book, you will find answers to many of the objections, if not most of the objections, that people raise against the inspiration and validity of Scripture. A lot of people just say the Bible's out of touch with the times, it's out of date, and when you read this book, you'll find out that nothing could be farther from the truth. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. So it's a book I wrote, a book that I'd love to put in your hands, a book that I'm absolutely certain you will enjoy. Then there is something that I am deeply enjoying every single day. I mentioned a few days ago, I can't wait to get into my car anymore because in my car, I have the Word of God, Audio New Testament. And it is audio theater, dramatic audio theater. So you're not just hearing the spoken word, but this is being acted out. The exact words are being acted out with sound effects. And it is enthralling. I've gone through the Bible many, many, many times over the years, but I am, for some reason or other, enjoying this experience as much as I've experienced or enjoyed experiencing anything in recent memory. I mean, it's just absolutely enthralling. And it is available. It's an incredible gift available for those who give to the ministry. And again, we're not trying to get you to give to get. We're trying to get you to give, to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. But we're also trying to equip you. And these are fantastic resources. So check them out. And you can do that on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants as well can be contacted when you pick up the phone and dial 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Bill next, listening in Minnesota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Hey, I really appreciate your program, like so many others. You really helped me in my journey. My reason for calling was, it really was about a week ago when I heard you said one of your resolutions for this new year was to be to listen to the Bible in your car. I spend a lot of time in my car, and I'm just about finished with the Old Testament. And I'm just wanting to say I was kind of, not in a boastful way, but kind of going to myself, hey, you know, Hank and I are on the same page, or I'm somewhat on the same page with Hank. Do you follow me?
I absolutely do.
Oh, it's been wonderful, and I have to tell you that I was shocked today when I was reading or listening in the book of Zechariah, one of the, I guess what we call a minor prophet, is that correct?
Well, yeah.
And Zechariah was talking about, prophesying about, you know, the Messiah and coming on the colt of a donkey or what have you. And, you know, that spoke to me. And as I looked that up when I got home for lunch and in the Bible itself in my hard copy, I was shocked to see that I'm just like one book away from completing the Old Testament. I was shocked. I don't think I, other than being in my car with CDs, I doubt I would have ever done that. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great benefits that we have today. I mean, there's so many ways in which we can partake of the Word of God. And yeah, I mean, this dramatic audio theater is fantastic. I mean, it just mesmerizes you. I mean, it's never been a danger to me driving. I mean, I think that I'm fully alert as I drive, but I'm also focused on the Word of God, and it has been incredibly helpful. It's kind of cool too when I have my kids in the car or my wife in the car. You know, we sort of turn that car into a sanctuary because we end up listening to the Word of God together and oftentimes end up talking about it, asking questions, discussing things that come up in the text. And so it's a fantastic experience.
I agree, and thank you for your ministry, and just keep up the good work, Hank.
Hey, well, thank you. No questions today, but a wonderful testimony. Again, we're talking about the Word of God Audio New Testament that is available. It's a brand new production by my good friend Carl Amari. He is a producer, he's an actor, he's a director, and he's been at this for a long time. He's been persistent. He wanted to come up with the best of the best of the best. And when you're producing these kinds of things, you go through trial and error. He has world-class A-list actors that have been commissioned for this project. But I will tell you, he has really hit it with this new product. I am so proud of him and so proud of the opportunity that the Christian Research Institute is affording people to listen to the Word of God Audio New Testament presented in dramatic audio theater. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. And we will talk next to Ryan listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. I just have a general question. I know the Bible says that the Lord knows when you're going to die before you're born. I guess that's a difficult thing for me to answer when people ask or say that we truly do not have free will when that comes to suicide victims or overdose victims and things like that. So I just wanted to get your response on that.
Sure. And I've answered this question many, many times. And oftentimes I think that there must be yet another way to get people to fully apprehend or even comprehend what I'm saying in this regard. What I typically point out, Ryan, is that what is important to recognize is that knowledge of something does not make the person who knows the causal agent of what they know. And the best way I know to explain this is just by practical application, a person looking backwards in time. So I can think back to a couple of days ago, I pulled a prank on one of my co-workers at the Christian Research Institute, and I have requisite knowledge of how he reacted and what I did, and it was fun, and I laughed, all at his expense, of course. But the fact that I know exactly how he reacted to what I did does not make me the causal agent of his reaction. Now, I did pull the prank, but you can think of many circumstances in which you look backwards in the rear mirror, as it were, and see things with clarity without being the causal agent of what you are seeing. So you could testify to what you saw in a court of law, but you didn't cause what happened. So the fact that God knows what you are going to do, knows all the days ordained for you, as you point out in Psalm 139, the text tells us, written in his book before one of them came to be. The fact that God knows that does not mean that we do not have the ability to act or to act otherwise. Now, I have also mentioned that this is somewhat of an antinomy. In other words, a tension in Scripture, because I fully recognize that the Bible talks about the sovereignty of God, that not a hair falls from your head, that God does not know about it. But the Bible's also very clear that our choices really matter. You think of Jesus saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, how long I have longed to cloak you under my wings as a hen her chicks, but you were not willing." And many other verses. So there's a sense in which there's an antinomy of Scripture here. But I think that it's important to realize the fact that you know, the fact that God knows, does not mean that our actions do not count.
Sure, I totally get that, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope that helps, Ryan. I mean, when you deal with suicide, it's always a... you know, a very, very difficult thing. And in our culture, suicide is ever more prevalent as people are taught that their lives are meaningless, that everything is just a random projection of molecules in motion. And so people think if there is no meaning, what's the point? So this is, a very relevant question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Paula in Torrance, California. Listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Paula.
Mr. Hanegraaff.
Hi.
Hi. Love your show. Listen to it every day, and God bless you for it.
Thank you for listening.
I have a question. I've been studying in John 16, and he's talking to the disciples about how he's going to go away and going to send the Comforter. And it says here, which I kind of didn't... I went over and over it in my mind and talked to a couple of people about what, you know, was going to happen with Satan. Was the Lord going to wait for Satan to repent or that sort of thing? I'm not eloquent of speech, Mr. Hanegraaff. But it says that he's already judged here in 12, John 16, 12.
Yeah, I think what's important here, and by the way, you speak wonderfully well, so don't sell yourself short on that. You're a good communicator. You know, I think what's important to realize here is that the cross of Christ constitutes God's judgment on the world and on Satan. You think of what a passage in Colossians 2 connotes. When we see that at the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a spectacle of them through his passion on the cross. But Satan has been judged from the beginning. That's why Satan fell. That's why Satan is the enemy of God's purposes. That's why Satan sought to do something with Adam and Eve that is beyond comprehension. He wanted them to become divine on their own terms. He wanted them to seek after self-deification. Now, while deification or theosis or being a partaker of the divine nature is thoroughly biblical, it must never be on Satan's terms. It may never be on our terms. It may only be through the graces of God which he affords to us. So Satan is condemned. And his place, as Revelation 20 tells us, is in the lake of burning sulfur, forever separated from the love and the glory and the goodness of God. And he has been, as the text tells us, Jesus speaking in this case, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And he's not going to speak on his own. He's going to speak that which has been given to him, because remember, Christ in his incarnation has undergone kenosis. We are coming up to a station break at the beginning of the next segment, the quote of the day. You'll love it, and we'll be right back.
To stand our ground effectively against today's assaults on the Christian worldview, we must, as Hank Hanegraaff says, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. To help you do that, the Christian Research Institute is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This new magnificently dramatized production is voiced by an all-star cast and features an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It has become politically correct to view gender bending and a radical redefining of gender itself as ways to set people free from internal turmoil and confusion. But the Bible offers a radically different approach to understanding ourselves and finding peace regarding personal gender identity. Other topics include why computers will not become conscious and take over the world, responding to evil Christianly, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am, is perfection an achievable goal, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. There is a battle for truth raging around us, but the firm foundation upon which Christians stand is God's Word. It is the supreme authority and knowledge base from which our worldview radiates. Become grounded in God's Word through the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. Brilliantly recorded, it is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich new production voiced by internationally renowned actors. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we come back with the quote of the day. I was talking at the beginning of the broadcast about responding to evil in a Christian fashion. The article that I was talking about, of course, in the Christian Research Journal. And so the quote of the day is in concert with this whole notion of evil. And I love what John Owen said. He was an English theologian, one of the greatest European theologians of all time. He said, when we realize a constant enemy of the soul abides within us, what diligence and watchfulness we should have. How woeful is the sloth and negligence than of so many who live blind and asleep to this reality of sin. There's an exceeding efficacy and power in the indwelling sin of believers, for it constantly inclines itself towards evil. We need to be awake then, if our hearts would know the ways of God. Our enemy is not only upon us, as it was with Samson, but it is also in us. The fault line of evil, as I said earlier on in the broadcast, runs squarely through the human heart. The quote of the day, and now back to our callers, John in California, listening on KDIA. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you today? I have a question about Sikh people. I have a dear friend of mine who's Sikh. And when you look at their lives, the way they behave, they're so wonderful people. They have, like, beautiful behavior, and they have a beautiful life, the way they help the poor and feed the hungry and everything else. But my question is about their belief. And when they say, we believe in God, the creator of everything, I mean, do they believe in Satan, or they believe in the wrong God, or that's one thing. Another thing, when they believe of a reincarnation, there's so many examples that he told me. One of them is an Israeli soldier who died in a battle back in 1950s, and now he's back, they say. And he witnessed that he died in a certain battle in Israel, and he was buried in a certain place. And they, when they went to that specific place and they dug up his grave, they found the bones and the DNA and all of that, and they proved it was him. That's just one example. I just want your intake on that. What do you think about Sikh belief?
Yeah, well, I think that it's wonderful for you to build a rapport and relationship with those who are involved in Sikhism. This, of course, is a third major branch of Hinduism, and by the way, is an attempt to harmonize Hinduism with Islam. And in this belief, there is one God, but the God is not absolute and personal. And so I think the big thing that you want to be able to do is contrast the God of the Bible with the God of Sikhism. The God of the Bible is a personal God who has revealed himself in time and space in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But more to the point, with regards to reincarnation, this is a myth. This is not based in reality. It's based in mythology. If you want to look at evidence, the evidence for resurrection is overwhelming. Jesus had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. So resurrection can never be harmonized with reincarnation. Reincarnation is always the migration of the soul from one body to another body. And sometimes the migration goes from the greater to the lesser. So you can migrate from being a human being to being an animal, or being a weed or a thistle. So this is in direct contradiction with that which corresponds to reality. Now, it is true that an ever-growing number of people, and this is not just in Sikhism, but in the church and the culture, have come to believe that reincarnation can be reconciled with resurrection, and that there is even proof for reincarnation. But the scripture does not support this. And we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin, and that's why we completely discount the idea of reincarnation. The Christian belief has always been that there's one way to God, and it demonstrates that you can never find reconciliation between resurrection and reincarnation. Christ himself put it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If Christ is truly God, his claim to be the only way has to be taken seriously, and the idea that he rose and that we will rise like him as opposed to our soul migrating to another body has to be taken seriously as well.
Yeah, so how do you answer them, or how do you try to convince them that, you know, when they say, okay, you believe in this, we believe in that, we'll see who's right or wrong at the end. So
well,
there's
no that's
way
not,
of trying to convince them.
Yeah, but that's not really a wise way to do things. A wise way to do things is to look at the evidence. Why do I adhere to a biblical worldview? Well, I adhere to a biblical worldview because every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So I look at the universe and realize there has to be a universe maker. Secondly, God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of my consciousness, and then he has revealed himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and demonstrates that he is God through the immutable fact of the resurrection. Now, those are things that we can look at and ascertain based on evidence. So the one idea, however it's going to work out in the end, is based on blind faith. The other that I am promoting is based on faith in evidence. And a cumulative case, again, can be made not only for the creation of the universe by a personal creator, but the fact that that personal creator revealed himself and that the Bible is a legitimate authority as opposed to what a Sikhism considers to be a legitimate authority. I mean, actually, this was an idea founded in 1472 by a guru. His name was Nanak. And so he basically took two convoluted ideas and merged them, quite frankly. But this is something that we shouldn't leave to chance and say, well, just because someone thought this at one particular time, let's kind of see how it works out in the end. No, we have to respond to the light that we've been given. And the light that we have been given is enough light so that we can ascertain that reincarnation is simply an invention as opposed to resurrection, which is a reality.
So they believe in a false god, like the god of Islam, the god of Hindus. So this is Satan himself, right, Dr. Honeycraft? Is that Satan who tried to deceive them and tell them, I'm God instead of the true God, the Jehovah God, God of the Bible?
Well, I cannot say what is deceiving them. It is the world, the flesh, or the devil. The point is that they're deceived and that your responsibility is to be able to lead them to truth. Now, your responsibility only goes so far. That responsibility is that you have to be ready to give an answer or a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. You can't change their heart. Only the Holy Spirit does that. So I had an opportunity, actually, during Christmas to talk to a Sikh. And we had a wonderful conversation, and this was a truly wonderful man. And I very much enjoyed being with him. In the meantime, I found some of the difficulties in his life, and we've had further communication. But this is one of those examples of where I was able to communicate with him and open his eyes to certain realities, but he didn't become a believer. But that's not my responsibility. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. I did what I was responsible for. I communicated with gentleness and with respect.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Hancliffe, and thanks for all you do. God bless you. God bless your ministry.
Thank you, John. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kim in Goldsboro, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding Israel in the end times and in Genesis 12:3, which is always I've taken to heart that we are to support Israel financially and in our prayers. And I have a dear friend, another believer, that tells me that that scripture was written for, it was in the Old Testament. It's nothing to do with us. And he brings up the anti-Semitic comments that Martin Luther made. And I don't know how or if I am right. If I am, I'd just love for you to explain it to me so I could give him scripture to back up my thoughts if they are indeed biblical.
Well, I think what you have to do is look at this text and see what this text is telling us. I will make you a great nation is the promise that God is making to Abram. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So again, this is the call of Abram, who became Abraham. Now, the reason God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, because he is the father of many nations through which all the earth will be blessed. So the idea is not that somehow or other God's people are based on a particular identity. The idea is that if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the one in view here, because Jesus is the royal seed of Abraham, and all who are in Christ are heirs according to the promise. And this is very, very clearly stated in Galatians chapter 3. So it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter whether you're slave or free, or male or female. It has nothing to do with your genealogy, your station in life, or your gender. It has to do whether or not you are in Christ, the royal seed of Abraham, because if you are, then you are the blessed one. You are a friend of God, and you are the one in view in this passage. Now, I mentioned this several times on the broadcast, but if you want to get some good information on this, look at my book, The Apocalypse Code. You'll find it on the web at equip.org. We're out of time for this week's broadcast. We'll be back next week with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To help you immerse yourself in the teachings of Scripture, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The classic film 2001: A Space Odyssey played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 can put your minds at rest. Who's afraid of how? Why computers will not become conscious and take over the world. Other topics include the unending bending of gender, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am, responding to evil Christianly, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God.
Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.